it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to go ahead and dive on into the iTunes mailbag, the Twitter mailbag, the live comments where I'm looking here. And wow, we have four-starred comments as well. So I'll dive into those here as we roll along as well. But man, what a busy time that we currently find ourselves in here. So the first review that we have here comes from Keep Pre saying, I understand yours and Harrison's take about tanking the 7-8 playing game, but it's good that the Lakers won it because you can see that AD's back was still bothering him and he wasn't himself mobility-wise, and then winning the game versus the Pels bought him extra days to rest up. He would have only had a couple days to heal up the back and then would be playing on Friday. Same for LeBron, as he was gassed midway through the fourth. Another reason why you want Denver early is that you'll have both LBJ and AD rested and at their max and not beat up after already going a round or two. I don't know. I would still, like, if the Lakers lose in five, it doesn't really change my opinion on, you know, avoiding Denver, you know, compared to losing in four to this team. They're a really effing good team. And now, like, a version of the point here, right, a counter that I have to offer myself here is, I am the person who is sitting here saying, you know, you got to knock out a team when you possibly can. It's pretty inconsistent with, well, maybe you lose a game to get yourself a marginally better opponent. So, or a marginally better matchup for yourself. So, you know, those two stances aren't exactly logically consistent, and I get that there would be some frustration there. Look, here's how I feel about this, and I've said this all along. Practically speaking, I think it would have been wise to tank against the Pelicans that same game. Get those, like, it's not like you would have had LeBron and AD play in that game if you're trying to tank it. You would have rested them anyway, so they would have been rested going into that first series anyway. So you rest them that game, and you take your chances beating the Kings and then beating the and then facing off against an OKC team that the Lakers have played well against all year. And I would have preferred that route versus going right into or running directly into the brick wall that is Nikola Jokic. While I acknowledge all of that stuff, while I say that that's, like, in my opinion, the most practical approach, that's not how we fan. Right? Like, that's not, you know, the organization that prides itself on Mamba mentality, ducking the smoke there, again, not exactly consistent. And for fans to basically root against their team, or for me to ask fans to root against their team in that one game setting, would have been a fundamental misunderstanding of what it is to be a fan. And that's where I stand on that. But I appreciate the question. I appreciate the back and forth on that subject. Now, I promise everybody that I read all five-star iTunes reviews. This one's a five-star review, but doesn't exactly like me. This is from Brian J. Brian 1992 J. I enjoy the show. It's consistently uploaded. They share their opinion on games, etc. Anthony's rebranding as a Lakers insider can feel cringe for longtime viewers that know him as a super fan, especially because it's so forward and consistently mentioned, like he has some contractual agreement to mention it on every show. I actually do. Lakers Daily, it's part of my contract that they, like I say, I am a Lakers insider for Lakers Daily. But anyway, like he has a contractual agreement to mention on every show. He pushed some pretty poorly researched breaking news regarding injuries that almost immediately got debunked. I understand his employment probably stipulated this, and I'm not about to fault a dude for trying to get his money, but it does degrade the quality of the show, which in all other elements brands itself as a show from fans for fans. Here's my thing. We all grow in whatever industry that we are in, right? This thing did start way back in the day. When I started this back in the day, and actually you can find some of those old shows if you know where to look on YouTube. But when it was the Team Tank podcast, and it was me, and it was Harrison, and Gary, and Ryan, and Matt, and the whole gang back then, it was a show for fans by fans, right? And we were just fans who didn't have any inside information, just sitting there and reacting to the game that we had just watched that night. And man, it's funny to go back and look at those because I had like a whole, I didn't have a chin underneath my chin. I'm recording that like very clearly from the second bedroom of Jen and my apartment back then, which we were barely able and sometimes not able to afford because of my pursuit of this career. Just a hilarious time to look back on. And then over the years, right, the longer that you do this, you develop more and more and more relationships with people inside and outside of the NBA kind of ecosystem. And I have legit friendships in some of these spots. And what I try to do is offer up the information that I can that helps you, the listener, stay as informed as you can possibly be by way of listening to the show. And yeah, I will be the first one to say that I will occasionally get stuff wrong, right? Gabe Vincent not returning this year, I got that wrong. I got bad information. I'm happy that I was wrong on that front. Like if I'm going to be wrong, I would prefer that it would mean that good things happen for the Lakers there. And that's something that like, as I am brand new, this is the very first year that I've ever done this. Right. And like Brian says here, longtime listeners of my stuff, watching me learn this and try to figure this out on the fly, it is going to be a little cringy because that's how things always are at the beginning. Like trying out new things at the beginning does tend to be cringy, right? Think of the first time you ever swung a golf club. Think of the first time you ever swung a baseball bat, threw a football, any of those things. It didn't come natural, right? And I do have, you know, some experience on in this, but it tended to be on the other side of things where I was in PR and I worked with journalists. So that, you know, their audience could be as informed as they could be while I protected information that my clients wanted protected, right? And that I think offers up an interesting angle to all of this where I can kind of filter out some of the bullshit as I am not a traditional journalist. And I can try to talk you guys through the stories that I am trying to break while I break them. And look, the hope, the plan is to continue to get better at this so that next year I will be better at that aspect of it than I was this year. And the following year, I'll be better at it than I was the year prior to. And with each story, I try to learn how all of this works and continue to get better for you. For me, right? Because I want to get better at this stuff. But at the end of the day, the main beneficiary is going to be you, the audience. But I do appreciate like the feedback there. It is something that I'd taken. Look, as an example of recent feedback that I took into account, we're doing this thing now where I break up the episodes. If they're longer conversations, I break them up into a couple episodes for the podcast audience, right? And some people were saying, well, when they were releasing wasn't necessarily in the proper order. And some of like the endings of shows just feels kind of clunky and stuff like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to listen to you, the audience, while also listening to the data. And the data indicated that is good for the show to do. And I'm going to try to balance out both of those things. And so what I've landed on here is for those who want to listen to the full, you know, however long conversation in its entirety, there's that option. For those of you who want to kind of scan and pick and choose which subjects that you listen to, there's that option for you as well. And then for those of you who want to tune in and watch live to us talking about all of this stuff on YouTube and on Twitter and all that, there's that option for you too there. And that is us building this plane mid-flight, which can get clunky sometimes. You are going to hit some turbulence. The key is learning from the turbulence. All right, I'm going to dive into the now super comments before we get into the other ones from Twitter and all of that stuff, which means I get to play this bad boy. Fuck Boston! Rye Guy, any chances KD goes to LA after the Suns sweep? There's got to be, question mark. That's an interesting one. I was texting back and forth. Hope Matt doesn't get angry at me, but we were texting the other night about the Lakers-Nuggets series, and he threw out the funny idea of KD to the Lakers, right? I haven't even looked at what the trade would be. Maybe I could try to build that out while I kind of filibuster here. But, you know, the idea of KD to the Lakers so that the Suns can kind of get some assets back here and look to rebuild. Maybe KD asks out. I can't imagine he'll ask out. That would not be, I think, the move that I would advise him on. So KD makes $51.1 million I think this year. And so we'll just use that as kind of a general number that the Lakers would need to get to. The Suns would probably ask for Austin Reeves. They would probably ask for Rui Hachimura, and they would probably ask for Jalen Huchefino would probably have to go there too as a pseudo first round pick. Maybe they also ask, I guess, for Jared Vanderbilt, or Gabe Vincent, right? And that gets you to $44.5 million. I think that's pretty close. You know, I guess, let's see. Lakers unable to complete this trade. Since they are an over-apen team, they are only able to get back 100. The Suns. On the Suns side of things, they're, I guess, getting too much money back. I don't know. It's all really complicated. I'd have to look into it, but is that something that the Lakers could do? Maybe. But again, like I just talked about all that first, or I guess a couple previous segments ago, I don't like the idea of just stacking stars and hoping it works, right? Like the Suns this year were an abomination. Like there was no process into that team building. Like, you know, you basically trade. Like with Devin Booker, you bring in another bucket getter who doesn't run anything that helps Devin Booker operate more easily on a basketball court. And then you double down with that approach by bringing in Bradley Beal. And then you're thinking, okay, well, that can be kind of like, because of how much overlap there is between those three stars approach to basketball, you need kind of a bright offensive mind to make it work. The Suns, now I guess there's something to be said that the Suns were like, all right, we'll let the stars handle the offense and then we'll bring in somebody to basically handle the defense. That worked okay when it was LeBron, but they don't have a single player on that team who is anywhere near as smart as LeBron is. And you saw that play out. Their offense was just ISO after ISO after ISO after ISO, and it never made life easier on anybody else. And I think there's a very clear ceiling there. Now, Frank Vogel is probably going to get fired as a result of that season. And, you know, poor Frank, this is now two straight jobs that were made more difficult by the acquisition of a huge contract from Washington. I hope he gets another opportunity as a head coach. I don't think he will after this. But like that is, if he takes another one, I hope he just gets like a nice young rebuilding team that he can just kind of grow with and just stay away from, you know, superstars who just tell him basically, no, I'm not doing X, I'm not doing Y, I'm not doing Z. As far as to actually answer the question, any chance that KD goes to LA, I would put it at like a 2% chance. It could happen, but there would be a lot that would have to take place before it becomes even remotely possible. Next one here comes from Brandon Oemeng, which means tomorrow, wouldn't mind TP getting more run on MPJ because he can chase better than Rui. Gabe is better than Spencer, or Gabe getting more minutes than Spencer, please. And if Vando was available, I'm playing him. Yeah, I think I would agree with 2.5 of those things. I think the Lakers, like, the mistake that the Lakers keep making with Rui is that they put too much emphasis on the things that he can't do, and they don't highlight the things that he can. And rather than try to figure out ways to get more out of Rui, they just wind up benching him. And that's just, it didn't work for them throughout the entirety of the regular season. And making that mistake again in the postseason just doesn't seem all that smart to me. So I would try to find some way to get Rui going. I would run more pick and roll with him and like really hammer home to him, hey, be physical, actually set the screen, because he isn't a great short roll player. He's not a facilitator in any way whatsoever, but he finishes relatively well. He's got those big hands. The Lakers have basically stopped using him as a baseline cutter. And that hasn't made much sense to me. So I wouldn't completely ditch Rui quite yet. But I think if you stop playing Spencer, again, that's 14 minutes or so. You give a few of those minutes to Prince. You give a few more of those minutes to Austin Reeves. You get the remainder of them to Vando to see how his body holds up in this setting. That's how I would kind of handle the math here for game 5. Rye Guy saying Shams Suns article just dropped and yikes. Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I've been on the air. So maybe it'll be something that I respond or react to in tomorrow's show. But yeah, like it wouldn't surprise me at all that a thing would be such a disaster there, and you would immediately see all kinds of finger pointing and distancing people distancing themselves from mistakes that were made there. And clearly a giant mistake was made there in trading for Bradley Beal. Like that's a franchise ender. Like, you make a mistake that bad and you wind up potentially having to trade Kevin Durant or having to trade Devin Booker. Or those guys just ask out because Beal's contract and Beal the player is so difficult to manage that you keep on bumping up against the glass ceiling that you just put over yourself. And eventually Booker and or KD get sick of it and they say, all right, well, good luck with that guy. I'm out of here. All right, the final super comment that we have here is from Rez, which means I'll play this one more time. Rez says, Anthony, let's start the Mikal Bridges agenda. Reeves, Rui, picks. Yeah, I mean, like, I would do everything in my power, every possible thing, even if it costs an extra first-round pick. I would hold on to Reeves and try to go into next year with Reeves, maybe Vincent, right? I'd have to look at what contract you would have to move here. But Reeves and, you know, Vincent and Bridges and LeBron and AD as kind of like your best five-man lineup going into next year. And that to me is a squad that makes a whole bunch of sense. And in that case, you're trading for a biggish contract in Mikal Bridges, but he is capable and willing to do those little things. And you have Reeves, who last year, I thought, not this last regular season, but, you know, I guess 2 seasons ago, he did more of the little things. And I think if he is going to be that kind of valuable again, he'll need to get back to doing more of those little things. And then you have LeBron and obviously AD, and that, like, to me, I don't know. I don't think the Nets are all that interested in moving him. And we keep hearing basically every trade deadline or summer or any other period in which players change teams, the Nets love to brag and leak how many picks that they turned down for Mikal Bridges. That's all great. Seems really stupid now, seeing as you're, you know, basically heading towards a rebuild anyway. But you know what? Do you, Brooklyn, I guess. And yet, like, for the Lakers, if you can, you know, if you can somehow get Bridges and keep Reeves, even if it costs you an extra first rounder to do so, that's the route that I would take here. Because A, we know those guys like playing together. They had an entire bromance last summer when they played on that FIBA team together. You have, you know, Bridges, who is a really good defender, moves his feet really well, nice long defender too, good team defender, knocks down threes as well, has some creative chops, and would just fit in perfectly. He's the kind of player who, like, once he gets around better players, he becomes better. Obviously, when you play with LeBron, you play with Anthony Davis, do you think he's going to get better there too? And that's how I would, like, he's the person who I have highlighted his name, right? Underlined his name, done the square box thing. If you want to put a heart around it as well, I've done that, just like hoping on hope that the Lakers can somehow, some way walk away this next summer with Mikal Bridges. All right. Because I attached it to a link, it wouldn't surprise me if I didn't get any questions directly from Twitter here. Yeah, it looks like I only got two responses there. So I'm going to dive into the, you know, the comments here as well. Yeah, sorry. Somebody already asked for No F Boston. Whoops. All right. I'm looking here. I'm not seeing very many comments, you know, straight comments here. Still scrolling. Ton of comments. Really appreciate that. Oh, here we go. Cancun Lakers asking who would Vando match up with if he came back tomorrow? How much would it help? I would basically just try to, like, let him basically get into a mud wrestling fight with Aaron Gordon and see how that goes. See if you can wear him out so that he isn't so physical and doesn't have such a physical advantage every second that he's on the court, not guarding LeBron or not being guarded by LeBron. LeBron has done a pretty poor job. He's fallen asleep a lot defensively in this series. Vando, I would think, helps you a little bit there. Vando is still a tough player to play offensively. He can't shoot. There was all that hope and prayer that maybe he would improve as a shooter this year, but he did not. And that makes things really difficult there. We'll kind of see what that would look like. But I do think he's a talented enough player and he's a big enough part of the Lakers identity that I would try to give him a go. You know, he's too good to basically just give him a DNP CD. It's close, right? But we'll see. Green Machine asking, what's the likelihood Ham will be fired if we lose tomorrow? Man. I can't quite get into that right now. I don't have it well enough to be able to say one way or another, but Ham certainly went from, like, had the Lakers lost, the belief was that he was probably going to be let go on Sunday with exit interviews Monday. And then you win that game five and, you know, is there all that big of a difference in the job that Darvin Ham did when you compare merely winning one game against Denver versus not winning any games against Denver? I don't think so. I don't think it changes how I view Ham as a coach. But again, as I've said all year, Jeannie and Rob have looked all season for reasons not to fire the guy. And, if you finally break through and you win one game against Denver, and if game six is, or if game five is competitive, maybe they let him keep his job. If you win game five and you wind up going to six against Denver, that probably saves his job outright. I'm thinking this is speculation now. And if you get to seven, I would think his job would be safe in that scenario here. But again, like Raj and I talked about, I am not of the opinion that you lose playoff games for the sake of just merely firing a head coach. While you have LeBron in his age 39 season playing the way that he is. So, you know, maybe you saved the wrong guy's job by winning game five, maybe, but it's still worth it to me. And there's still a possibility there, a decent possibility, I would say, that even though you won that game five against Denver, or even though you won game four against Denver, and you earned yourself a game five in Denver, there's still a, I think, pretty decent chance that even that isn't enough to save Darvin Ham's job. And here's the thing. It's still a person's livelihood that we're talking about here, and it's a really good livelihood, and he would still have $8 million left on his contract and then go right back to making probably six figures as an assistant coach, elsewhere in the league. So, like, it isn't quite the same as completely, you know, somebody losing their job and completely derailing their life or whatever, but it is still like somebody who has a family and all those things. I think it's in kind of poor taste for me to sit here on the show to just root outright for the guy to lose his job, right? I don't like feeling like I did, like I'm doing that. So I'm going to try to avoid that sentiment. But for those who were asking, like, what did that game four win mean as it pertains to Ham's employment? It improves the chances that he's back, but I don't think it solidifies the chance that he comes back. All right. That is, I think, going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown. Really appreciate all the comments and the questions and all of that stuff. And hell, like, even the person who left the, I guess, somewhat critical comment in on iTunes, I appreciate the 5-star review. And I, as I say, I'm going to answer all of them if it comes down to it, and have an honest back and forth with however that person feels about the show. The plan for tomorrow, obviously, the Lakers play tomorrow night. So right after the game, Raj and I will be here in the lounge to recap the game. And if they win, we'll be talking about the season that was. And if they win, we'll be like kind of absolutely freaking out about the possibility of how game six could possibly go back at home. If they lose, we'll talk about the season that was, and we'll talk about the offseason that is to be. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you next time.